You listen to this podcast every day because it's your KC local reliable news source. You take us seriously. But you know, we like to get down and we want you to party with us. Join us at our annual benefit Radioactive on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumping. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
UpToDate wants to know what you're talking about with family and friends. You can text UTD to 816-601-4777 to tell us. Again, 816-601-4777. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. For years, when we talked about a funding crisis for public defenders, our focus was on Missouri. But the state of Missouri resolved the funding crunch in recent years, and the system is said to be in much better shape today. All the issues that once faced Missouri public defenders, low pay, staggering caseloads, burnout, and high stress, now are present in Kansas, and legal officials are saying a moment of reckoning has now arrived. With us to talk about the Kansas public defender system is Heather Cessna. She's executive director of the Kansas State Board of Indigent Defense Services that oversees the system. Heather, nice to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So how big of an issue do you have on your hands these days, Heather, and do we all have on our hands as a result?
It's a pretty significant issue. We are very much struggling to find enough qualified and available criminal defense counsel across the state to handle the volume of cases that are being charged by local prosecutors in Kansas.
And what does that mean for your staff and the stress that's on them these days?
It's a combination of issues. We have been making efforts over the course of the last few years to try to focus on maintaining our caseloads in our public defender's offices, but we have a whole large swath of our communities across Kansas that actually are not covered by public defender's offices. They're mostly covered by our private attorneys who volunteer on panels to take appointed cases. And because of a combination of older attorneys retiring and leaving and our regional law schools not graduating as many law graduates and not as many of those people going into criminal law and moving out to some of these more rural areas, we've just got large swaths of Kansas that are simply struggling to find any counsel at all, let alone criminal defense attorneys. And we don't have public defender's offices in those areas of the state to help try to pick up that slack. And so as a result, we've been essentially trying to find people who will travel large distances of, 2 hours or more just one way to cover cases.
Are you seeing some folks who have been charged with crimes, are they going without representation for weeks or months at a time?
As far as I know, it has not gotten to that extent. It definitely is taking us days, sometimes a week or so, to try to find somebody to take a case. Not all of those people are necessarily in custody during that time, but that has definitely been a real problem.
Tell me a little bit more. Why are these huge caseloads a problem for our system?
Well, it's a combination of factors. We, as a public defense system, have suffered for many years with high turnover rates. Back in 2019, we lost one out of every four public defenders. This past fiscal year in 2022, we lost one out of every five public defenders as a result of high caseloads and low pay. We have tried to address those issues with caseload controls in our public defender's offices. And last year, the legislature did invest a significant amount of money in a pay scale adjustment so that we would have closer to pay parity with local prosecutors' offices, which has made a big difference in our turnover rates. But that loss of experienced attorneys over the course of many years takes its toll. It takes a long time to train somebody up fresh out of law school to be able to get to a place where they can take high-level cases and to be able to carry a heavy caseload. And so in the areas where we have public defender's offices, our public defender's offices have not been able to maintain the kinds of caseloads that they should if they were able to maintain the experienced people over the course of the last five or six years. And then that has sort of had a ripple effect with the local panel attorneys who then pick up swaths of cases that they wouldn't otherwise have to.
How big of a caseload are we talking about for some of these public defenders, Heather?
When I first started in this position in 2019, our public defenders were oftentimes with caseloads that were over 100 cases a piece,
wow.
Which is a lot to handle at one time. It's a lot of clients to handle at one time. And really, the problem is, if those were all just low-level felonies, that would be different. But oftentimes, it included a huge percentage of those that were very high-level felonies. We've definitely made a lot of strides in controlling those caseloads. We've used a lot of help from national standards that have been looked at in other states, national studies that have been done, I should say, in other states to look at caseload controls for public defenders, like in New Mexico and Oregon and other states like that, to be able to develop a case system, weighted case system in our public defenders' offices. But the part of the problem is that Kansas just in general doesn't have enough counsel for any kind of law right now. I think the Supreme Court recently created its task force on rural representation in Kansas because we're lacking attorneys to do any sort of law in a lot of areas of our state, and especially for criminal defense, because there's such a small subset of those people. And that's really about people not moving back to a lot of these communities and not replacing the people who are retiring and leaving the practice of law as they get older. Hmm.
So when you talk about putting caseload controls on some of your public defenders, what does that mean? Explain that, what that is.
So we spent about 2 years creating a weighted caseload system through a committee that we formed internally, where we looked at a lot of these different studies that have been done in all these different states to look at better ways to count cases so that you have a more nuanced sense of how heavy someone's caseload is, because it's not just about the number of cases. It's also about the kinds of cases, the severity level, other factors that may significantly contribute to the amount of time that you need to spend on that case, either because it's a large number of charges that are involved or a client that has severe mental health needs or those sorts of things. And so we developed a weighted caseload system within our public defender's offices to give us a more nuanced view of what those caseloads look like, both so that we can keep a monitor on individual attorneys' caseloads so that they're not being overwhelmed.
Right.
But also so that we could look at the offices as a whole to make sure that as an office that we either, need to add additional attorneys to that office to handle those caseloads, or we need to talk about offloading cases from those offices if they don't have enough staff. And that's ultimately what we figured out, is that we do have a severe shortage of staffing in our public defender's offices in general.
How many public defenders do we have in Kansas?
We have about 145 public defenders in Kansas. We have 244 staff throughout the state. That goes through, but not all of those are actually public defenders. So about 144 of those are public defenders.
If you could wave a magic wand, Heather, how many public defenders should we have?
Well, that's a good question. So based on our current national standards, which are from 1973 and are very outdated, we're estimating that we need about 262 additional staffing in our public defender's office. So public defenders, legal assistants, investigators, support staff, on top of what we currently have. But I do know that the new national standards for public defense caseloads are due to come out very, very soon, and I think those numbers will very likely increase under that new standards when they come out.
Just so I'm tracking you here, are you saying just in rough terms you need to double your staff? In a perfect world, it would be double what you have now?
Yes.
Okay, that just helps me. What do you do when you have a public defender who is, to use your word, overwhelmed? What happens then?
So in a place where we have a public defender's office, if, you know, an individual attorney is overwhelmed, we can look and see whether or not there's other capacity in the office to take some of that caseload off that individual defender's caseload. But if the office as a whole is to a place where they can't ethically continue taking cases, because otherwise that puts them all over a appropriate amount of cases for their time to be able to spend on them, then we have to look at alternatives. In Kansas, which is unique to a lot of public defender systems, we do have regulatory authority to refuse cases based on ethical caseloads. And so what happens there is a chief public defender will send a letter to, after consulting with me and getting permission, we'll send a letter to the local judge, chief judge, and say, you know, we're at a capacity where we can't take cases for a certain level of time. What happens then is if we have a conflicts public defender in the area, that conflicts public defender will take cases. If we don't have a conflicts public defender, and we have a contractor, then the contractor will take cases. If there's neither one of those in place, then those cases end up going to our panel of private attorneys that we have in each jurisdiction that have volunteered to take cases.
How open is the private bar to accepting these cases, Heather?
You know, they are a lot more open to accepting cases than they were even a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, we were only paying $80 an hour for our appointed cases. And that was really problematic because that $80 an hour is not take home pay. That's supposed to cover all of your overhead and things like that. And it just wasn't viable for large numbers of the private bar to be able to take a significant number of cases at that rate. The last 2 years in a row, with the support of the governor's office and the legislature, we have been able to up that hourly rate through a series of special budget provisos that have been funded by the legislature. So we went from $80 an hour to $100, and now $100 to $120. So we're currently paying $120 an hour, which has made it a lot more likely that people will join our panels. The real problem, though, is that every attorney has a limit to how many cases they can take based on their caseload. And so when we do add new attorneys to those panels, even at that higher rate, there's only so many cases they can take before they have to, you know, cry uncle and say, no, I can't take anything until I can clear some of the stuff I have first.
And again, just to be, for the sake of clarity here, you're saying state government has taken steps in recent years to help, but it sounds like you're still just in need of to hire a lot more public defenders.
Yeah, over the course of the last 2 years, we've spent quite a bit of time over at the legislature talking about what specifically our problems are and making some pretty significant asks for funding in order to try to address these issues, in raising our salaries for our public defenders so that we don't have the turnover rates that we used to, in asking for the additional money to up our rates that we pay to our private assigned counsel so that we can get more of those people onto our panels, and you know, various other infrastructure requests and additional funding for new staff so that we can add staff to our public defender's offices. We've gotten some successes. I mean, certainly we haven't gotten everything that we've asked for. And the funding that we have gotten has been very significant as far as its impact on the agency. I think the problem is that our problem with counsel shortages is still very much outpacing our ability to deal with that based on the funding and the staffing that we have currently. So we are still making a fairly significant budget request this year.
You know, the tricky thing about this is, on at least some level, this shouldn't be seen as a frill or a luxury for state government to fund something like this, because this right to counsel is sort of baked into our Constitution, right?
Right there in the Sixth Amendment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that must lead to a level of frustration for you when you don't see the resources coming down the pike that you feel you need to do the work you need to do.
Well, it's frustrating from that end because obviously, I mean, I have a responsibility to our public defenders, who are our employees in our public defender offices, and to our private defense counsel to get them the resources that they need to be able to do their job. And so that's frustrating. But more frustrating than that, too, on a certain level, is that quality and qualified public defense actually ends up saving the state money in the long run. And that's the kind of crazy part about this.
How is that?
Well, for example, we had I was just talking with one of our public defenders in our appellate office the other day, and she was telling she was making a point that that one office among three clients over the course of the last 4 months had managed to save almost 24 years of prison time through a series of appellate successes that they had gotten. Some of it was criminal history scores. Some of it was substantively related to the convictions, but was able to save a significant amount of time off of those clients' cases, which ended up basically saving in Kansas Department of Corrections costs almost $900,000 just on three clients in 4 months in one office. I mean, wow. So those are the kinds of things that when the public defender's offices are working the way that they're supposed to, and when they're sufficiently staffed the way that they're supposed to, and when we've got enough counsel on our private bar to be able to handle cases, that we can actually use those resources to save money for the state and those down the line costs, you know, avoid things like ineffective assistance of counsel claims or wrongful conviction claims. So it pays to invest in that upfront.
We'll be right back.
You seem like a person who likes to know what's going on in the world. But do you know what's going on in Kansas City? Start your morning with Kansas City Today. This daily news podcast tells you what's going on at home in 15 minutes or less. Listen to Kansas City Today from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
I'm visiting with Heather Cessna. She's executive director of the Kansas State Board of Indigence Defense Services. We're talking about the Kansas Public Defender System. To what extent are your public defenders made up of younger lawyers who are pretty fresh out of law school, Heather?
A pretty significant portion. I think when I looked at our list, it was close to about 60% are basically under 5 years of experience, which that really, especially during this period of time, because we haven't had a ton of jury trials and things moving the last couple of years because of COVID in many jurisdictions, that is a significantly fresh, for lack of a better term, set of attorneys. And so it takes time to get them to a place, you know, each individually, where they can start taking those high-level cases. And, you know, having such a large percentage of those public defenders in our agency, I mean, it really does show how much turnover we've had of our experienced defenders.
I'm just wondering about your typical public defender fresh out of law school. I imagine, that person meets the real world pretty quickly in any sort of sense of how they view the legal system and how critical it is takes on a new look pretty quickly.
Yes, I mean, I definitely think that's true. I think the reality of what it's like to practice on the ground versus sort of the idealistic version that you talk about in your law school classes is definitely quite an awakening of sorts.
Yeah. Why did you get into this line of work to begin with yourself?
You know, when I went to law school, I was not really sure what kind of law I was going to practice, and I had the opportunity to clerk for a federal magistrate judge one summer doing some ineffective assistance of counsel claim work for the judge while I was in law school. And then right after that, I had the opportunity to, while I was at KU Law, work for what was then called the Pauli Wilson Defender Project, but is now called the Pauli Wilson Project for Innocence. And in that capacity, I got to represent real clients. I got to write appellate briefs, and I really liked that aspect of it. I liked being able to do that research and writing. And so right after law school, I actually ended up going into appellate defense work. And the thing about criminal law in, you know, most states, but particularly in Kansas, is that if you want to do criminal law, 85% of our criminal felony adult cases in Kansas require appointed counsel. So if you're going to do criminal defense, you're either going to go into the prosecution side, or you're likely going to end up becoming a public defender or an appointed criminal defense attorney, because so many of those criminal cases require appointed counsel. And so that's what I did. I joined our appellate office as an appellate defender for about 17 years.
I'm wondering how much sympathy you find among the executive branch of Kansas state government, among the legislative branch in-state government toward the plight that the public defender system faces day in and day out?
You know, every once in a while, I mean, you kind of get that person who's like, you know, well, why would we want to put more money towards, you know, people who've committed these horrible crimes? And but you just have to kind of help them come along to the idea that this is a constitutional right, and it's a constitutional right that's afforded to you regardless of whether you're guilty or innocent, you know, regardless of that status, because it requires you to have a sufficient advocate against whatever the state is trying to prove in order for our legal system to work. You can't have confidence in somebody's conviction if their defense attorney wasn't there doing their best to test the state's evidence and make them answer for the charges that they're bringing and make sure that that part of the role that is necessary is being played adequately. I think if you talk to most prosecutors, they will tell you that one of the worst things that can happen for them is to have somebody on the other side as the defense counsel who is not resourced sufficiently, right, or is not qualified to handle the case, because if they do get a conviction, that's one of the things that will endanger that conviction sticking. And so I think it helps that we've been able to kind of help educate people about our role in the system, the necessity of it. I think it's also helped that we've had a lot of partners who've been willing to come forward and talk about the necessity of us in the system, including, you know, people like Mark Bennett, who's the Sedgwick County District Attorney, who right, has filed testimony on our behalf in favor of our budget.
Well, and it's been helped, too, by a number of high-profile cases that have really put a spotlight on what the impact of an overwhelmed public defender system can have on a high-profile criminal case, right?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a renewed interest overall nationally, and particularly here in Kansas, on our criminal justice system and how it functions and how it's functioning, you know, well, or how it's not functioning well.
Right.
And so I think those conversations have definitely helped us in trying to get the gains that we have over the last couple of years. It's just really a matter of, how are we going to solve this problem going forward? Are we going to have the resources to do it? And are we going to have those resources soon enough to be able to address the issue in the immediacy that we need them?
Sounds good. Well, that's Heather Cessna. She's Executive Director of the Kansas State Board of Indigent Defense Services. Heather, good luck with your budget request. Thanks for coming on and explaining your plight to us. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
Up to Date is produced by Zach Wilson, Reginald David, Elizabeth Ruiz, Zach Perez, and Hannah Cole. Our intern is Claudia Brancard. Our announcer and engineer is Paul Nakatura. Our theme music is composed and performed by the great Bobby Watson. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, KCUR podcast listener. We at KCUR have a question for you. How do you describe us? Yes, us, like KCUR. What words come to mind? We can hear you thinking. Go to kcur.org/describe and actually tell us how you answer that question. That's kcur.org/describe. And thanks.